Sahana vavatu, sahana bhunaktu, sahavirgantaravahai, vedasvinavaritamastumavirvishavahai, Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, page 105. 105, yes. Thank you. Okay. Hence, a devotee who does not expect any personal benefit and whose only ambition is to spread the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is blessed with all the auspicious results of bhakti yoga without hard labor. Okay. Right, so the karmis, they're working very hard, and maybe they're getting some results that they want or not, depending upon their previous karma, because it's not just you do the work, it's what's your qualification to get the work. Let's say just like, okay, I'm working for a company, and I put in my week's work, okay? Now, I would expect at the end of the week, I get a certain amount of money. Right? What if I owe the company money? Right? I'm going to get less. So that's how karma works. Is yes, you've done the work, but then what do you actually deserve based on what's the actual situation? Previous karma, previous endeavors. So that's why you see one person doing the work, getting a good result, another person doing the same work, not getting the result. Because there's something else behind it. Right? So for the devotee, he is just working to please Krishna. Therefore, he gets all these different benefits on the material just as a side thing. The main thing is becoming Krishna conscious. Because if you're Krishna conscious, you don't really care about the mundane stuff. Like that. Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter describes how the demons, being enchanted by the beauty of the Mohini form, agreed to hand over the container of nectar to Mohini Devi, who tactfully delivered it to the demigods. Right. When the demons got possession of the container of nectar, an extraordinarily beautiful young woman appeared before them. All the demons became captivated by the young woman's beauty and became attached to her. Now, because the demons were fighting amongst themselves to possess the nectar, they selected this beautiful woman as a mediator to settle their quarrel. Right? Because that's the whole thing. They have faith in sense gratification, so therefore then the woman being the form of sense gratification, therefore she would be the best one to work it out for them. Right? Okay. Amazing. See, appeared before them, became attached, because thinking then goes thinking, feeling, willing, right? So it immediately went from one to the other. It didn't take much time to think about this one. Right? Taking advantage of their weakness in this regard, Mohini, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, got the demons to promise that whatever decision she might make, she might give, they would not refuse to accept it. When the demons made this promise, the beautiful woman, Mohini Murti, had the demigods and demons sit in different lines so that she could distribute the nectar. She knew that the demons were quite unfit to drink the nectar. Therefore, by cheating them, she distributed all the nectar to the demigods. When the demons saw this cheating of Mohini Murti, they remained silent. But one demon named Rahu dressed himself like a demigod and sat down in the line of the demigods. So that means they already understood the cheating. The rest just sat there. He actually, did something. Okay. He sat beside the sun and the moon. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead understood how Rahu was cheating, immediately cut off the demon's head. Rahu, however, had already tasted the nectar, and therefore, although his head was severed, he remained alive. After the demigods finished drinking the nectar, the Supreme Personality of Godhead assumed his own form. Sugadeva Goswami ends this chapter by describing how powerful is the chanting of the holy names, pastimes and paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shloka Anusharanam. Verses 1 to 29. Mohini Murti bewilders the demons. Sri Sugadeva Goswami said, thereafter the demons became inimical towards one another, throwing and snatching the container of nectar. They gave up their friendly relationship. Meanwhile, they saw a very beautiful young woman. Correct? Because when sense gratification is the basis, then you can't actually have good relationships. That's the whole point. That's why it has to be based on dharma. Because there will be situations that one person won't consider ideal, or another, or both. So unless there's dharma, how do you maintain the relationship? That's the important element. So the demons, because it's based on sense gratification, therefore if you're in support of, then you're a friend. If you're not, then you become inimical. That's why it's so important, the Vedic, you know, sense of dharma. But it's not appreciated, so people will fight against this concept. Right? Yes?
This is how pranamaya falls back to...
Pranamoy, yes. That's the point, is pranamoy is people follow pranamoy only for the benefit that they will get in anamoy. Right? Because what is it? If we all together, everyone will have, we'll all be, you know, facility, everyone will be happy, everyone will be nice, what happiness? On pranamoy? No, on anamoy. So that's the idea, is that there will be common development in economics and facilities and art and science and medicine and, you know, all these different things. Because then it will be done nicely. So that was the success from this morning. That's what's seen, is that the West, they've, in one sense, mechanically developed some sense of the pranamoy. And then they'll come to other countries that they will consider of lesser stature, especially India. But India is based on manamoy, on a higher level of consciousness, so they can't see that actually what's there. So you remove that, naturally there'll be a lack of sophistication. But they take it because in the West, see, as in India, everyone's forefathers is one of the 21 Prajapatis, right? That's where we descend from. Well, in the West, it was monkeys. You know? So there's a slight difference in perspective there. They don't quite see eye to eye, right? Because the Prajapatis, you know, stand quite tall and graceful, while monkeys, you know, lean over like this. So, you know, it's kind of like eye to kneecap, kind of, you know. So they can't actually appreciate the culture. Yeah. Yes.
I was thinking that we see from this example that demons fighting demigods and snatch the container. And then they start fighting among themselves. So yeah. We see in our own society, first we fight with Maya,
right.
And then we fight between ourselves. So why is this happening?
Because of the attachment to the mundane identity. So we're saying the pranamoy will do that. Because before, there was the concept of you have the devotion and you have your duties. You know, you're supposed to do this. Right? President should manage, temple commander does this, you know, you're a brahmachari, you do this, and so there was a much stronger sense of duty, though not very developed, because it's a new thing for kind of the Western mind. But because of not being, instead of refining the manamoy, then somebody came up with the concept that if we use pranamoy, then we'll have very nice, you know, relationships. Everyone will get along. So political correctness was introduced, right? So then the problem comes is then you're introducing this. As long as there's a common enemy, then you can get along. But otherwise, if not, you won't. And so before, Maya was the thing. So, but it's not politically correct, you know, all this Maya war analogies, this and that. So with time, there's no common enemy. And so naturally, then you just go into in-house fighting. You know, it's just like there's in the Gandhar Hills, there's a particular group of individuals live there, different tribes and all that. They've been fighting since time immemorial, right? They were famous before. Shakuni, they would, you know, jokingly criticize him because the citizens were so rough and ready. So they'll consider him uncultured because of that. So they've always been like that. Now, then I think, if I got it right, then at some point seeing this is an advantage, because then you get a, what do you call it? You get the advantage of having a, access to the Indian Ocean, right? And, which is, as opposed to the, at best Baltic or, what do you call it? The one on top?
Mediterranean?
No, very top. The Arctic, which is half the time or most of the time in ice. So then, and you have this group of people who've been fighting amongst themselves and can't get along at all. So it should be easy. So then, there's a political endeavor to make some arrangement there. But as soon as this arrangement is made, then all these guys get together. And so then they fight, and then, basically one of the biggest, most powerful countries in the world can't defeat this group of, just tribal guys, What they made the mistake was these tribal guys have been fighting each other, so they know how to do it. And if you go back in history, there was another group of tribal guys called the Huns that this northern country had a problem with. So they don't do well with tribals. Anybody else? Yes. But tribals, no. And so then it didn't work. But as soon as that country pulled out, that united front immediately fell apart. They immediately started fighting each other again. So that's the problem. Unless there's a common principle of dharma, then this is how it will work. So it sounds like, yes, it's for everybody. No, it's for everybody within your group. Everybody doesn't actually include the world. Does that make sense? They're sitting there in New York and talking about, yes, the world with no borders, but they don't mean for the dock workers there in Italy, to come waltzing in there and do their dock thing. They mean all the people who've gone to a Western university and have a Western degree, especially if it's a BA, and like that, and then they can all get together because they can all sit down together and have common values and like that. Unless, of course, you're really significantly junior, then yes, you can be kind. But if they see themselves as equal or superior, an alternative, then no, we're not talking about that kind of equality. Mm-hmm. So basically, that's when you saw as the value system. It's not that it wasn't weak like that, because Prabhupada says when the Acharya leaves, then there's going to be, people will get confused. But then the idea is good disciples then try to understand what the Acharya wants and continue on in that line rather than make some alternative because, he's from the spiritual world, what does he know about here? So in other words, that for all that to work means then you have to deify Prabhupada. And then him being deified, then who has to step in? The practical, modern, up-to-date, educated individuals who can't manage their way out of a wet paper bag. Yeah. And so then all that starts. Because it was taken that political correctness means correctness or truth. No, it means political. It's just being political in a way that sounds good. That's all. Right. The other term, political correctness, is the nice term. The actual term is spin doctrine. And now I think they just say spinning. They're spinning. Like that. You just take a truth, make it into a lie, take a lie, turn it into truth. That's all. It's not about correctness. It's about making your politics sound correct. So making such a major, major mistake then they didn't see that that is chala dharma. And so it has no value in Krishna consciousness. It doesn't make it past the second verse of Bhagavatam. You know, so therefore, this is the problem. Does that make sense?
How is it that when you are on the platform of Dharma, you can keep relationships?
Of course, because you have a duty, so you keep maintain that relationship even if there's a trouble. Because that's what it's supposed to be. I mean, it's just like, I can't say about in, I say, we're giving example here of, okay, you have those who are the more modern kind of thing, there's problems in the family, it's problems in the family. This one doesn't understand this, that one that, that one doesn't appreciate this one, that one doesn't appreciate that one, and all these kind of things. And those just go on. Now you have other groups from other backgrounds that are not rooted in this particular cultural phenomena, that even if there's problem, then they'll say, but bottom line, everybody's family, so you just have to live together and tolerate and accept. Right? And so they're able to stay together. But the fun part is those from that first group, they will always consider the one from the second group as inferior. So that's the difficulty, is the concept of Dharma is not actually appreciated by the modern so-called intellectual society. Because it restricts them. No, it should be you can do what you want. We set the standards. Because if you have a standard, who set that family is important? Right? It has to go back to religion, go back to God. And that is what the modern intellectual does not want to hear. Right, and this point will come up a little bit. What verses does that come up in? At the very end of the chapter. Everything, you have the story, but at the end of the chapter, then there's going to be some nice points made. Yeah. Is that make sense? Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. So therefore, only Dharma can hold that. But the point is, why would someone stick to Dharma? Right? Be consistent is only if there's bhakti. And if you're sticking to bhakti, then it's not about Dharma. It's about pleasing Krishna. And then pleasing Krishna, he being Dharma, already includes all other dharmas. Therefore, the benefits that I was saying before, the benefits of Dharma are gained easily by the devotee. He doesn't have to separately endeavor for that. So he's not trying to create communal harmony, he's trying to become Krishna conscious. And in doing that, seeing everything connected to Krishna, he will naturally cooperate with everybody because they're all part and parcel of Krishna. Does that make sense? So it's a byproduct. So what others are working for as a goal, it's a byproduct. In other words, Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha are byproducts of bhakti. But on the material platform, these are goals. That's the weakness. So, yes?
It seems that Dharma gives superior results.
Yes.
However, they come after some time.
Yes.
An example is Yudhishthira. So for the modern devotees, it's difficult because we don't have the guna to wait for that long.
Yeah, but if you don't, how is it any better? You know, just...
Because
the thing is we think we're the doer. Right? The particular individual is there. Now they could focus on their own character, developing their own, you know, position, situation, and all that. And therefore wait for things to develop naturally.
Yes.
But instead, they go after this and say, I'll do this, and distract themselves from actually their primary point. Then they simply get distracted. So by the time they possibly actually do get, they don't actually have the faith, they don't have the stability, they can't be satisfied. So it's not a superior system, because even again, it's just like, okay, just as a, you know, a blunt aspect. Okay, the girl could be there, focus on what she's doing, develop herself personally and everything like that. The point is when she's supposed to marry, get married, that's when it will happen. It won't happen before that. Right? So in the Vedic system, you wait. You make the endeavors, but the endeavors are, you know, from behind the scene. Then, whenever she does find someone, then things work out nicely. It's late, but it works. The modern system is no. As soon as she can, she's out on the street, she's looking around. So by the time she does get to that, you know, Mr. Right, then who knows how many she's been to? 2, 3, 5, 10, 30? And so she has such a cynical attitude that even Mr. Right is not Mr. Right. So she can't actually trust that he'll actually do. Well, the other way is she had to wait in the pain of that, which is, you know, insurmountable, of course. But at least when it's there, it's solved. But this other, she's gone through the pain all the way along, and when she does get, it's still not solved. So that's the difference between the mode of passion and the mode of goodness, is that it will come whenever it's supposed to come. You make your endeavor according to your duty, but if you go outside of your duty thinking I'll gain more, you don't gain anything. You know? It's just like, have you ever... Yeah. Is that... Yeah. Is that.
This particular example of Samudra Manthan.
Of Samudra...
Churning of the milk ocean.
Churning of the milk ocean, okay.
So... Here we have the demons and the demigods, and there's a cooperation for a particular goal to be achieved.
Yes.
So, heard it from devotees that this kind of a cooperation is not possible now because the age was different and this age is different.
Yeah, yeah, everybody will make this that excuse that, oh, it's not the age, you can't do these things nowadays and that, so therefore I'm a rat bag, I have no good qualities, I don't do anything right, I don't even make the endeavor to do anything right, I just do whatever I feel like, whenever I feel like, and it never works out, and I know it'll never work out, but what can I do, because that's me. That's what we're talking about. At what point will it be seen that this is an actual, absolute useless mentality? That's like saying, oh, I can't bank on leaving my house because I don't know if it's 2016. Does gravity still work? You know, the time and space continuum still there? When I walk out the door and I go to school, will it actually be there? Will the space be the same? Will it have changed? Will the school be there? I'll come there and it'll be in another dimension or... Yes, like that. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is everything except the Vedic is set in stone. It's perfect. It's the way it is. And only the Vedic is the one thing that, even though it's the eternal culture, it's the one thing that does not apply. And the modern is the eternal. It's the right. It's the perfection. It's the all these different things. So at what point is the individual is going to give up this nonsense? Because as we said, just to bring it out, means I didn't want to rub it in till the end here, but here, it's mentioned here, but there are many karmis in the dress of devotees. So that's the whole point, is that you have to be very, very careful. Just because someone says so, does it match the Shastra? Does it match what Prabhupada did? You can say, oh, but all this kind of clothing, this and that, and we don't know if it's Vedic and that. Yes, we don't know. But who gave it to us?
Basically, Shastras apply to all the ages. Age should not be...
Manu is for all four ages. It always applies. Other Dharma Shastras are, like Parasara is specifically written just for Kali Yuga. So to expand on Manu like this. So that's the point is, Krishna's laws, the laws of nature are eternal. They always apply. We try to do it. That's the whole point. We sit there and speculate about these things, like I was saying before. Kids were learning English and reading very nicely for hundreds of years. In fact, their vocabulary, their ability in that... Basically, if you bring in someone who's a real aficionado in language, they would be able to understand what kids then were talking about, the words they would use and stuff like that. Then, because the method was a little strange, they sit there and say, because the ways you read English, it is nonsense. It doesn't make any sense, right? O-U-G-H, has six different ways to pronounce it. So you have 26 letters, 40 different sounds, and of that, the combinations of that, you end up with 106 different ways it could be put together to get those sound with those letters. Now, if that is not an unscientific language, I don't know what one is. There is no other language on the... Everywhere else, these letters always mean that. You ever seen Polish? Monster words, ridiculous words. And I'm watching this five-year-old read them. I can't even figure them out. Because it's always the same. That's science. So then these... So therefore, because it is, you have to be able to learn all these, you know, all these different things from this. So they just get the kids to repeat it until they know I can get all these six sounds. And then they start putting in context and then like that. Very successful. But then some intellectuals sit there, subjecting the kids to all this insulting ways of dealing. This isn't very smart. We're treating them like children. We should be treating them as, you know, how you say, their idea is that they're little adults. What they didn't figure out is they're big kids. So then the problem comes is that they make up this new system called phonics and other kind of things. And what's the other, linguistic and all these different... These two, they've been warring with each other since, you know, the 1800s. And since then, kids have a problem reading. And they're so stupid and so puffed up, they won't just go back to the old thing that worked. No, because they have to improve it. I'm an intellectual. I can make it better. That's my ability. I am superior. I'm special. So that's the problem. You have things that work so nicely, but because of their intellectual speculation, they have to put a spin on it to give it their own flavor so that they have an identity so they can actually function in the world. Otherwise, they're dysfunctional people. You understand? That's the whole point, is that the Vedic, even old traditions, they all work. That's why people follow. We say tradition. Why do you do something? Because it works. Somebody has a restaurant. They like the preparation. Why do they go there? You know, because a regular thing. Because that's it works. So everybody's got tradition. But because everybody's making up their own, therefore it has different cultural things. So the Vedic simply has already told you what is best. So that way everybody can have the same values, same traditions, and get along fine. Does that make sense? Yes.
Why does Maharsha Smriti specifically state that Maya Samhita is 4 seconds?
The points that it may be making may apply in these other things, because otherwise he's only expanding on points that you need more definition in Kali Yuga, but those points are made in Manu. Just Manu doesn't get into much detail. So that explanation may work nicely in Satya Yuga, because you just say one thing. It's like Upanishads. The Upanishad says something, and the intellectual of that caliber can take it, work it out, and apply it in their life and everything just from one verse. Like you have all these Munis, who I mentioned before. They become perfect by studying one verse or one group of verses. Like that. I think in the Samved Purusha Shukta, three different rishis for 9 verses. Like that. So it's you know, so somebody has 3, someone's this, someone's 1, like, so we don't function, we need Purana, because we need the whole example, the whole explanation and everything like that, and even then we don't get it, but you know, at least there's a better chance, right? So then that explanation in Satya Yuga, people would catch it all. How? The point is it's starting off with creation, and then with the creation it brings it down to all the different species of life. And then of that, now you have this knowledge of how everything functions. That is given to the Brahmins. You have all the people who will be following that. The control of that's given to the Kshatriyas. You have all the cows and other, you know, animals necessary in human society to support. That's given to the Vaishyas. And then to the Shudras, it's the supporting those other three. You know what I'm saying? So then you understand how Dharma Shastra connects back to the Lord, because you just had the whole creation. And how the Lord glances and transforms, and then you get this. So then going back the other way, it goes back to the Lord. So from that, then people could see, okay, this is how it goes into everything. So Manu says, you know, here are the 10, after giving six chapters of rules, so six chapters means it would be about 1,000 verses or something, then it's giving that there's 10 essential points. Basically, it comes about don't steal, don't lie, don't, you know, get into sense gratification, be clean, and be nice, like that. And so then that's the essence. So it says a Brahmin who works by these 10, then he'll be successful. Right? So that means they could see how these 10 apply in all those rules that were before that. You understand? So Parasara is writing for Kali Yuga, where you may not have caught that. Right? So then it's just like it says, okay, the girl doesn't get remarried. Right? Because if there's an opportunity to get remarried, then why she wouldn't take it? Right? Unless there's some other things, social things and this and that to bother. Right? In the old societies, they didn't because it would be socially unacceptable. In the modern, who cares? They didn't even know you were married in the first place. So, you're like that. And they don't even care if you're married. You know, it's like that. So, therefore, then we see that it's taken more advantage of. So, therefore, to stop that, you say there's no divorce. It doesn't mean that there wasn't. It just means that you say that there isn't any, then there's a better chance that they'll apply themselves. Right? Now, cases where they can get remarried, then it mentions. Like that. So Manu just says that, you know, if it happens and the husband dies, and before they've had a child, then she can consider. But it also says if she doesn't, her own personal and development will be good. Right? Like that. So she'll just go back, stay with her father, like this. But Parasa will give more detail of that because, but what about this situation? If she's standing on her head when the husband died, does that make any difference than if she was, you know, out in the lounge room and that? What if she was in the kitchen making a smoothie? What if she was in the bathroom, didn't even know he died? That's Kali Yuga. They can't use their brain. They have to exact words, what I'm thinking, the words, if that's not coming out the other person's mouth, oh, you're not saying what I'm thinking. So therefore, Parasara has to spell it out more closely. But you balance that with all, what does Parasara say, what does all these different things say, and then you see. But it's not that, no, these rules are for Satyayuga. These rules are because otherwise Kshatriyas and doing the whole big Kshatriya thing, in that degree, it wasn't necessary in Satyayuga. So how is it just for Satyayuga, since the second half of the book is practically about Kshatriyas? You know, and Brahmins not doing Brahminical things if they can't do that as an occupation. Right? So it just means the explanation, this is Satyayuga, because who is there at the assembly? In the court of Lord Brahma, then the great sages come there to ask Lord Brahma to explain what is Dharma in connection with being Krishna conscious. That's what makes Manu unique. Because it's about how can I follow Varnashram and be God conscious at the same time. It's not that they don't know Varnashram. They want to know how to be Krishna conscious, because Brahma is. Right? So that's what they want to know. So then that form, so in other words, Brahma Manu is specifically meant for the Krishna consciousness movement. Other Dharma Shastras are just getting into this yajna here and that there and, you know, stuff like that for, you know, way above our heads when it comes to mundane ability. But it's actually the one that can do. Does that make sense? And Parasara will give some detail on those areas of issues where, you know, we just have to have it spelled out for us. Does that make sense? That's the thing. Meanwhile, they saw a very beautiful young woman coming forward towards them. Upon seeing the beautiful woman, the demon said, "Alas, how wonderful is her beauty! How wonderful the luster of her body! And how wonderful the beauty of her youthful age!" Right, so from all aspects, so it means if you come, you know, as an older lady, then some would like, some wouldn't like, and this and that. But you come like this, then everybody can relate. Right? Speaking in this way, they quickly approached her, full of lusty desires to enjoy her, and began to inquire from her in many ways. O wonderful, beautiful girl, you have such nice eyes, resembling the petals of a lotus flower. Who are you? Right? Because the eyes are glancing and everything like that. So that becomes a very important thing. I would say, all aspects of makeup, probably girls put more effort into their eyes than anything else. Right? Because that's where all the potency is expressed or exchanged. Does this make sense? Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, because the person within the eye is Krishna.
Yes. Okay. But it's, you know, they put less into something. How long does it take to put on earrings? You know, so does this one, put it on? Yeah, okay, good. Right? You have a little box this big, put all your earrings, you know, they all fit into here. Makeup, you know, it's one of those, pull that out like that. Okay, what are we going to do today? No, not that one. Let's go. Okay, that's the. Like that. Yeah. Okay. Who are you? Where do you come from? What is your purpose in coming here? And to whom do you belong? That's the point they want to get to, right? Who are you? Okay, so we know where have you come from? Then, you know the relatives. What is your purpose in coming here? Is it me? You know, like that. And who do you belong? You know, is anything like that. Oh, you whose thighs are extraordinarily beautiful. Our minds are becoming agitated simply because of seeing you. Right? So thighs here is because she's dressed. So the point is how she moves, how the things like this, the cloth, everything like that. Because they use very fine cloth, so it'll drape and everything like this. So then they can see the movement. So it's not just how she can stand, it's how she can move. Right? That's the, as we'll see later when it comes to Lord Shiva. Okay. 1-3, Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 3. The demons inquired from the wonderfully beautiful girl, to whom do you belong? A woman is supposed to belong to her father before marriage, to her husband after a marriage, and to her grown sons in her old age. In regard to this inquiry, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the question, to whom do you belong, means, whose daughter are you? Since the demons could understand that the beautiful girl was still unmarried, every one of them desired to marry her. Thus they inquire, whose daughter are you? Because then they know who to go ask. Right? Like that. So this quote here, that they mention here, to whom a woman is supposed to belong to her father before marriage, to her husband, and to her grown sons, that's basically word for word a verse of Manu. Like that. So that's because the point is the sense of possession is there. And if one's in this situation, that can be nicely manifest. It's not that a girl can't be on her own, but the point is that sense of possession can't manifest nicely. Therefore, the feminine nature can't fully be there. The confidence is less. Means you have girls, the professional girls, they can show so much confidence, but at what point do they crack? And when it goes down, it's not good. Well, if there's this sense of possession, there'll be trouble, but who's in trouble? Who they belong to. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's the whole point, is that confidence can be maintained. It's a disturbing situation, but that gets transferred to whoever she has that closeness with. Well, if she doesn't have this, then who does it go to? Nobody. Yeah. Hence, meltdown. Does that make sense? Yes. So the Vedas are simply trying to avoid that. I mean, if people love their meltdowns, hey, go for it. It's not a problem, but just the Vedas are showing how to avoid that. So we may not have that full advantage, you know, like this, but at least for our children, children's children, we can try to establish that. Does that make sense? So we do the best we can, but we have to know the principles. Otherwise, we go against the principles, then we break it down for the next generations. And so what should be the third generation is doing great, you have to wait farther, because the third generation is actually only the second generation, right? Because you're the first generation, your children are the 1.5 generations, their children are 2. So that means you have to wait 5 before you get to the third. You understand? So Prabhupada wanted to be a little more quick, like that.
So is it wrong for a woman to be alone?
It means... Since when have you ever heard of women who like to be alone?
They might not like to be.
Yeah, that's the whole point. So the Vedic system is girls shouldn't be in a situation that they don't like to be. right? But at the same time, as it says, better she stays at the home of her father her whole life than marry a bozo. They also, Manu also says that. So it's not, no, they have to get married and then it doesn't matter who. Manu says, don't marry a guy who's not worth marrying. Right? So blind uncle is better than no uncle. No, they just say, they're better to stay at home. Your father will take better care of you than the bozos. Right? Now you see, it's a major thing is that now if a woman is alone, then she feels more comfortable if she has a child. Right? Ideally, if it's a son, but if not, daughters work. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is it still applies. It's just a matter of if we see it or not. So if that's the case, if that was understood and appreciated, then how much focus would be there on trying to train boys and girls properly so that they can make proper decisions, you can make proper facilities for marriage, they would know how to live that lifestyle and all that, but we don't have that at all because we're still cool with, you know, going out on the street and hey, because if you don't go out, if you don't know them and all that, yeah, sitting there behind in a bush, you know, holding each other's hand, you really get to know the person. Right? Like that. And I'm not sure that the details of that knowing is actually, how you say, really important. You know, how you say 32C is not really knowing the person. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because at least on the boy's side, that's what he's getting to know.
What is
the method? Was that over the top? Should I said B?
No, I just mean, what is the method to decide if this person is actually proper for my daughter?
Are they trained? What does the church say? Talk to the families. Go over to the families. What the family does is what they're going to do. Like I said, South India is a high-class Brahmin families. They are very clean. They go over and see a family. They go into the house. And so then naturally they hang out and this and that. The men are out there. The women are on this side. They go in the kitchen. They help with the kitchen duties. Like that. You have these, you know, the stainless steel spoons. Like that. And in the spoon, the handle is curved, right? Then it gets to the actual bowl. And in that point is where the curve comes down and turns into the other thing. It's a very difficult place to wash. Unless you specifically focus on it, it will never be clean. So simply the lady, you know, who's coming over to the other person's house just nonchalantly looks at that back of the spoon. If it's clean, they continue talking. If it's dirty, then that's it. Well, they'll be nice, but they just know that this family's out, you know, because, you know, the men will say, you know, how do you go there? So they'll see how they deal and economically and what's their view on things and stuff like that and how they you know, how well he'd be able to take care. And then the wife will say, no, this not family's not good because they're not of that standard. Means, in other words, they're good Brahmins. They should marry good Brahmins. Otherwise, then they're not going to be clean, and then that's going to lower the standard of the family, and then how it'll work. You look into the family, you look into the culture, how they deal, you look at the charts, that's why it's all there, because you're trying to see the unseen. As was mentioned in the... Yes, yeah, you know, yes, from the, as Vedanta Sutra is pointing out. That's what you're looking for. And that's what he said. It may take time. It may take time, like that. But, you know, better something real than a whole bunch of unreal. But the point is now we just kind of have to just deal what's there. Where's the actual training? Is it? Maybe individuals do, but as a community... What's the standard? Can girls go out and move around with boys or not in this community? Many think they can. Some say they can't. The ones that say they can't, oh, that's your opinion, you know? I mean, this is how it works. Therefore, but is that allowed? Let's say we go back into, you know, some village. Is that allowed? It's either yes or no. So the point is therefore there's no community. Right? How do you tell he's a good guy? Okay, he's got earrings, he's got tattoos, you know, he's got a, what do you call it? The thing around his neck, the cheddar around his neck, it's got to go around once like this. See, this is the bona fide way to do it. If you just hang it on the shoulder, that is old school, like that. That's it, forget that. It's got to be like this. Like that. Okay? Did I miss anything?
Huge.
Huh? Motorbike, yeah.
Huge Chanting Beach. Huge Chanting Beach.
Kavacha on the arms, yeah, could do that, yeah. Getting more finer detail, yeah. Stuff like that. Yeah, and then you know, hey, this is a catch. But, you know, it goes on.
Adjust my cheddar.
Yeah, you got to work on that. You know, kind of that. See, he's with it.
Bozo over
my this. God.
That's not the right
cheddar. Yeah, so out of it.
That's not the right cheddar.
Oh, it's not.
Oh. Yeah. So close.
Yeah, it's supposed to have the like a Hari Nam kind of thing, you know, like that. If you can get the black and white ones.
Oh.
Yeah. But the otherwise white and red, white and yellow and white, they also wear, but that's a little too religious, but the black and white. Yeah.
Work on the dreadlock seeking also.
That's
only some do that. No. That's more of a specialty. That's more, you know, that means, in other words, that's a more eclectic individual. Okay. I'm just talking about general. Okay. But, you know, some that means they're a little bit more. There's further values there.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So is that make sense? So the point is that when the community has that, then there'll be a common standard. Okay, should girls learn to cook? How many girls learn to cook? Right? You know what I'm saying? Like that. Should cloth cover their bodies, or should cloth show off their bodies? I'm just talking Darshan Artik here. Yeah. So you understand the whole point is this is community. There is no common value. So therefore, Prabhupada said this, if we valued this, then we'd work on it, then it makes it very easy. I've always been impressed in India. You have people that they physically have no qualifications, and they're happily married. All kinds of strange, they're all married. It's like in India, everybody is married. They want to get married, they're married. If they don't want to get married, then they can be not married. But they're all married. Because there's training, there's this, you have a community, that it works. Right? And before, there's just, you know, people staying together, but there was no divorce. Right? Not that in British law they could get divorced, it's just nobody did. Right? So as long as they follow the tradition, it works. When they take up the modern, now it's falling apart. In fact, it's fashionable that you should get divorced. This is because that's what they do in the soap operas. So, you know, you want to be up to date, right? You know, because soap operas are actually representative of Western culture, right?
Shastras.
Yeah, come on. Like that. Have you actually heard people say that? They actually thought, you know, why are you doing like this? No, because, you know, in, I forget what it was, but, you know, like, and, you know, whatever's the soapy, you know, there they do like that, you know? So, oh, really? You know, just like, as, you know, why are you drinking? I remember it was one devotee, he was in a shop, and he was drinking one drink, and there was the opposing drink. You know, like you have Sprite and you have 7-Up or something like that. And the Indian boys, they're drinking the other one than he's drinking. And they come up and ask, why are you drinking this one? You know, because this is better. Like that. And they said, no, the one we're drinking is better. And they point at the poster, right? It's got one Bombay, you know, cinema actor holding that drink. See, he drinks this. This one's better.
Give them 1,000 years, they will get
it. Yeah, yeah. Give them some time, yeah. Does that make sense? So that's the point. Prabhupada says these things. If we believe in it, then we'll make it happen. It may take much time. But the point is it makes it easy, but we don't have that faith. We think, no, it's actually better. girls out on the street figures it out herself, she'll do better than anybody else. Why? Because there's no trust for authority. Like that. So that's the problem. What?
Can we not say that coming from a Western culture, like where there is no Vedic culture, and then coming to Krishna consciousness, coming to a Vedic culture, so now what is going on is basically a transition phase, you know, from...
A transition which way?
From Western to Vedic. It should take time.
Yes. Kind of like...
We should be optimistic.
Yes, we will be optimistic if we understand the standards, but when you have people speaking actually against these standards and and taking position of authority in this matter, then how is it moving forward? That's why I'm saying these things. In other words, it is a progression. For those who actually have, yes, over time, it's working, it's getting better. But for those who oppose, they're still in the same position, the same boat. It's not moving at all. You understand? So the problem is according to the rule of the silent majority, then the 20% who have a big mouth make all the trouble. Right? I've heard say, no, but people won't accept this. It's like, been all over the world and everybody I talk to accepts it. Coming from, particular background and that, I know the specific niche where they do talk the way they're talking. And they're in no way representative of the larger society. You know what I'm saying? You get a couple of journalists, you get a couple of professors and that. How many friends do they have? Journalists don't have friends. Professors, they're too nerdy. Right? They don't hang out. They may come together and they don't have community. Because at any moment the other guy can take your chair, so how are you going to have community? And then they know how to talk and they know how to write and that, like, so they communicate and then everybody thinks this is the world. You know what I'm saying? But they don't represent society at all. But they claim, no, we're the ones. That's the difficulty. So that's what we're trying to say. No, one has to have faith in what Prabhupada says. You have to have faith in the Vedic version. Then, yes, you can say, no, but so many things have gone wrong. Yes, let's adjust that. But you adjust it by correcting it, not by throwing it out. Does that make sense? The bath water is dirty. Yes. What do you throw out?
The water.
The water, not the baby. Because it's like this. Now look at it. Now, see, you have this nice tub. It's a good tub, right? It's got, all kinds of cool, frogs and dinosaurs and stuff on it. Now, it's full of dirty water. Now, why is it full of dirty water? Should we have a bathtub full of dirty water?
No.
This is, universally accepted. No bathtub should have dirty water in them, right? So now, what's the real problem here?
The baby.
Because the babies are dirty, therefore you bathe them in the bathtub, and the bathtub ends up with dirty water. So if we get rid of the babies, there'll be no more dirty water. See? Perfect solution.
Or just stop bathing them.
Oh, I never thought of that. It's an alternative, yes. That's also, that could also work. That also could work.
They'll die anyway, naturally.
They could become conquistadors in the meantime.
Yes. Yeah, all other kids. Right? Wow. They had the best presentation in the class. Really? Like that? Against all the other kids? No, all the other kids were sick. You understand? That's the Western solution. That's why we're talking. Is that when we accept the Vedic version, then we start on it. You know what I'm saying? But in official circles, you can't use the terms Varnashram, Brahman, Kshatriya. You can't. Why? Because it's not accepted. So therefore, why not work on it? So when we're saying it will work out, Prabhupada says it will happen. It's just a matter of if, you know, we'll see it now or it's going to be near to the age of Aquarius. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole point. Right? And the fun part is, these are demons and they know all this.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nityananda Gaura ki.